This is the Mixed Coach Podcast, episode 28. We're going to talk about live recording today, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Mixed Coach Podcast, the podcast dedicated to making your next recording your best recording.
All right, Kevin, we're here, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit this week about some live mixing albums. I know there's a lot of people that record albums live and then they mix them themselves or they have somebody mix them. And a lot of times I've even gotten, you know, tracks for an album that was mixed or that was recorded live. Mm-hmm. And they want to bring out an album about it. They want to bring out a CD and you know, put that up for their people, either just on their website,
right,
or they want to release it, you know, and sell it at their shows, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I just wanted to talk to you about, you have some really good experience mixing live albums, you know, mixing live concerts for CDs. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this, you know, you're actually headed to California, coming right up here, to record a series of concerts over right there. And then you have another one coming up, you know,
in a couple weeks. Well, at the end of a month or so.
Yeah, in a month or so. And so, I mean, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what are some techniques specific to mixing live albums? This is on the mixing side, to mixing live albums. So somebody tracks something and then, you know, they get it tracked live or then they play their concert. Right. Then they send it to you and say, hey, Kevin, could you mix this right for us?
So we're talking about mixing specifically, right?
Yeah, mixing specifically. Okay. On the backside, not like a front of house engineer, but on the backside.
Well, there are certain things about doing a live record. They take a lot. Some people think that they can just capture everything and then have a good live record. And I've tried that too, but when you do it that way, you end up doing a lot more post-production than you need to. Mm. So in my opinion, if you're going to record something live, you need to think about what you're going to try to get before you even record anything, or okay, at least at the very beginning of it. And I'll explain what I'm talking about. When you first started working with me, mm-hmm, as an engineer and helping me out, you know, assisting me with some stuff, and you actually did the lion's share of one of the probably the biggest live mix that we've done to date. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of forethought that went into that as far as like what we actually needed to capture, what needed to be done in pre-production, mm-hmm, like things like, you know, the sequence of songs. I mean, something as simple as that, yeah, it's harder to rearrange in post-production, like because you may have alluded to the song that's coming up next and then it ends up before that song on the record. It could tend to right confuse people. So, you know, simple things like the flow of the songs needs to be addressed, and if you can keep that, then you should.
Yeah.
So when you're doing a live record, you know, think about what's going on beforehand. But one of the things that that I always like to do is I like to you need to really make sure that your audience is captured. Some people think that you can throw one audience mic up and it's good. Most of the time you'll catch more ambience from the speakers or the front of house, and it just muddies it up more, mm-hmm, than anything. Mm-hmm. What I found lately is that, you know, several audience mics and usually from, you know, several different places in the room, mm-hmm, so that you can have a choice. And usually that choice will flow through the whole record. Mm. You probably don't want like audience mics from the front of the house and then all of a sudden halfway through you switch to the ones that are halfway back. You probably want to blend those together.
Yeah.
And I found lately that shotgun mics are usually really good about that, about capturing audience, because they're more
specific.
There's more specific. Mm. They take in less of the room sound.
Yeah.
And they get more of a group of people that may be sitting on the first quadrant of things, and you can kind of listen to them, and the rejection on those shotgun mics is so much better than, say, even a cardioid or supercardioid, yeah, pattern. Although I do use those too, you know, because you do want some ambience. You want that
right
that natural reverb that happens in a venue that you can't really get by, you know, adding a reverb to it.
Yeah.
You know? So another thing that you know, you want to capture your audience right. You want to do some pre-production. You want to make sure that you're getting everything in the right order so that your post-production workload is not quite as much.
Yeah.
Second thing, you want to make sure that you capture the audience clean. And I always like, because audience or the crowd response is key part of being a live record. Otherwise, you may as well just do a studio record.
Right.
How the audience reacts, how they clap at the end of a song, if you tell a joke and they laugh. You want to capture all that stuff because, you know, if you think about sitcoms, there's two kinds of sitcoms. There's like The Office, mm-hmm. and there's no audience response, but it's pretty obvious when you should be laughing and what's funny.
Right.
And then there's the old school sitcoms where there's a laugh track in there.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, their response, that's how important it is that they'll actually, you know, tape it before a live studio audience because, you know, even though it would be better to record it in the studio, they want to record it in front of people because, you know, that there's an energy that happens that if you're not capturing it right, that, you know, it just doesn't feel like a live record. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, on the last, it was Christ Tabernacle. We mm-hmm. went to, I went to New York and recorded a live concert for Christ Tabernacle. It's a great church in Queens, New York. And we had the whole flow worked out. We had done pre-production on it. Everybody knew their parts. We, you know, played the live tracks. And I remembered, because I had done pre-production on this, is that there was one song that we wanted the audience to participate in the hand claps.
Yeah.
You remember the song?
Yeah,
it's like, don't,
yeah, they had the rhythmic clapping there. Yeah.
So I got Steve, who is the choir director. I said, at the beginning of this concert, before we record anything, I would like for you to get some audience response samples for me.
Yeah.
And so what I asked him to do was I asked him to get a short burst of applause, like someone had just said something they agreed with. So it was like a short applause, and then I had that in the can. Basically, we mixed that, and we mixed it in. And the second response we got was a longer one.
Yeah.
And then the third one response was like with people, you know, whistling and...
Yeah, just exploding.
Yeah, just like a big, like maybe at the end of a concert sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you don't... It's harder to do this at a church thing because people think you're manufacturing, but really you're accenting. You want people to know... If you didn't do that great of a job capturing things, you wanted to make sure that you could pop it in there. Another couple things you could add is laughter.
Yeah.
You know, like someone had just told a funny little, like somebody had a one-liner and you just,
right.
You know, kind of get that response from audience. And the second one, you know, you may want to get several laughter things.
Yeah.
And another thing I like to get too is single claps, which was how we used this in the live concert. People in concerts, they tend to clap along with songs they like.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a key part, and then when you pull it out...
It just doesn't feel
as... Yeah, there's a feel that goes away.
Energy, yeah.
But if you leave it up, there's too much ambience in there, and it sounds mm-hmm. like you're, you know, in a gymnasium at
right.
the boys' club.
Right.
And it just doesn't... It takes away from all the effort you put into making the music clean.
Right.
So a good thing to do is to grab a single clap. Maybe just, you know, get them to clap. They don't have to be in tempo even.
Yeah.
You know, just get them to clap several times, and then you can take those, slice them up, pop them in a sampler somewhere, or you could just grab them as a track that you've got set aside just for embellished audience response.
Yeah.
So,
So you're basically discussing more on the front side of things and talking about, you know, getting the audience right. Is there anything else as far as, you know, the tracking goes on those, you know, at those whenever you're on the day of, like, say you're at, you know, a concert and you're wanting to track it and everything. Not only would you necessarily get your audience tracks, would you get the samples and that sort of thing? Is there any techniques you would use to mic the actual instruments that are specific to live tracking? Or you just, I mean, bleed over in microphones, that sort of thing. Is there anything you use to set those type of things aside?
Well, anytime that you're tracking, and I'm just thinking about one of the last things I recorded, it was at a smaller, it was a Crosstab thing.
Okay.
And I remember, and I know it seems like we're talking a lot about pre-production,
right.
But I would say that the bulk, The lion's share of having a good live recording is thinking about it from the onset.
Right.
What your inputs are going to be, how many instruments, how you should mic them.
Absolutely.
One problem in particular on the day, which we addressed in pre-production, loud amps. The bass player had an amp.
Yeah.
There was a B3 there with a Leslie.
Oh, wow.
There was a live set of drums there. There was a guitar player who liked to play through two speakers.
Mm.
And he liked to face them, you know. He liked volume.
Yeah.
So we had to pre-address all this stuff, and you know, we had a small drum room that was made of plexiglass. It was really a cool design, but the drums were in there.
Okay.
And then we built another small room for the amplifiers.
Nice.
So that the amps would be in that room, we could mic up the amps, and then the audience wouldn't. Of course, the audience probably would be negligent in the guitar mics,
right.
But the volume of the amps, if we decided to take out a certain guitar lick,
right.
Or redo something, and it's in your audience tracks. Let's just say you've got a funky guitar intro, and the audience is clapping along, and then you decide to redo the guitar intro. What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, if you've done enough pre-production, there's not a lot of bleed, and if there was, you'd have the audience response that you could replace.
Right.
It's kind of like drum replacements. It's audience replacement.
Right, it is.
But it's really clean. You know, it's an audience recorded in the best of environments.
Right.
So, let's see. I'm trying to think of any other thing that we could address for post-production. As far as recording it, you know, I've addressed some of those things. Just make sure that you're thinking ahead what kind of mics you're using, how much bleed's happening. If the guitars are going to be loud, you need to do something about that.
Yeah.
If it's a live piano, do you need to section the piano off, throw some blankets over it, use a certain kind of mic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you like to use Omni mics in the studio, which do sound really good. Proximity effect goes away, and you get more of the room sound. But if you're recording live, you don't really want too much of that. You want to really focus and direct. So do you need a pickup on the piano, or you know, do you need cardioid microphones? And you know, we usually opt for sometimes, if you can help it, you know, even capturing MIDI from the piano.
Yeah,
I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you here.
Oh no, yeah.
But I'm hoping that something will pique someone's interest, and they'll come back and take a listen to this when they go to record a live project. Recording the piano, MIDI on the piano is something I'm experimenting with. Also, you can actually take a MIDI cable and convert it to XLR. And then back to MIDI, and then record that into your Pro Tools. That way, if the piano player missed one note, you can actually take his MIDI piano, replace the note.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, all those things kind of feed into the final product as well. I mean, a lot of times, like if somebody, you know, brings up a live album, I mean, a lot of times before I'll even, you know, say, let's just see what the tracks sound like and see if we can get you a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pull up the tracks, and if the tracks, you know, sound great, then you just, you know, you kind of go from there, and it's, you know, it's really easy to do from that point on. I mean, it's just like mixing almost anything else, you know, you just try to make everything sound as tight as possible, sound good. But then a lot of times, you know, you get tracks and they're not as great as you think. And so, I mean, in those instances, what would you do if you got some tracks and you weren't around for the tracking side of things, but you got some tracks and they weren't necessarily the quality of tracks that you're used to recording as a producer live?
Well, you know, that really depends on if your audio that you're recording is going to go with video or not. If it's going with video, then you have a whole different animal on your hands, because then you can't just go in there and replace the bass line, or you can't just replace the drums and pull the audience down and, you know, and pull them back up at when the song is over, because you've got sync problems to worry about. Because you know, if the drummer did a drum fill and you've replaced his drums or guitar player or whatever.
Yeah.
So it really depends on that. If you're doing video, you're pretty much, that's why pre-production is so important.
It's so key to the video.
Yes, and that's why rehearsals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's why all that's important, because you're really limited at that point. Then you have to, if the drums are recorded poorly, then you have to, you know, trigger the drums, which you know, is something you might, depending on your budget, would want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just clean up some stuff. Guitars. Another thing you can do with guitars or even vocalists. Let me just talk about vocalists for a second. This, if the vocalist was flat or something on a mm-hmm. phrase or a song or the whole night, you know, you can take, depending on the kind of microphone, there again, I'm going back to pre-production all the time.
Yeah.
You can take that vocalist, put them in Melodyne, mm-hmm. fix their pitch, mm-hmm. reprint it, and just make sure that there's no sync problems, which there shouldn't be if you don't correct timing. Another thing you can do is you can do dialogue replacement. They call it ADR, I think, in film stuff.
But right.
It's actually where you're watching the video and you're actually singing along with yourself and you're singing it right. And then I've got a plugin. It's a lifesaver called, what is that plugin called that I use all the time?
Vocaline?
Vocaline, yes. Yeah. Use it religiously. On things like this, because then all you have to do is you have to take the newly recorded vocal that's on pitch, on key, the way the singer wanted to do it, and then you take the live recorded vocal,
right?
You cut it, make sure they're the same length, and then you align the new one to the old one. And then most of the time, you can't really tell that there's been any replacement.
Right.
And I would do this strategically, because doing this on a whole 60-minute record will take you, I mean, literally weeks or even months
yeah.
to do. And working on a project for that amount of time really kind of takes its toll on you.
Right, right. And not only that, I mean, it might, you know, cut into a budget or that sort of thing as well. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, you've gave us some great ideas, everything from the initial tracking. So you've given us some pre-production ideas, you know, as far as, you know, what to address, song order, audience microphones. And you've given us some post-production things, you know, with editing and with mixing, that sort of thing. What do you do if the tracks aren't as good? Mm-hmm. You can, you know, pull them out and replace them if you're not doing to video. If you're doing to video, you have some options as well. So, I mean, I really feel like we've addressed pretty much most of the issues with the with live albums.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's a really a good wealth of information there that you've just kind of thrown. And I mean, I think we've addressed pretty much everything. So
well, we probably, the truth is, we've hardly addressed anything.
That's
because
probably true.
As you well know,
that's probably
when
true.
You get into there's problems that come up that you had no idea that was
right.
going to be a problem. Maybe there's a, you know, and maybe we can talk about this on some future podcasts. But
yeah.
I remember one live album, there was an audience mic that we really needed that had buzz all the way through it.
Oh.
That we just missed because
yeah.
the audience mics were down because we were concentrating on getting the band and stuff. Well,
yeah.
you know, maybe in a future podcast we can talk about
what to do with noise,
how to fix some noise things, and how to do some other things like
great.
That.
Great. For a free download of Kevin's video called 5 Things Every Great Mixer Knows, head over to mixcoach.com/freetips.